Okay, let's do this. Okay, so like I said, my name is Brother Lou. If you have not met me before or have not been on a call before, then we welcome you to a Black Wallets Matter members-only town hall meeting. As I said earlier, these calls are a little bit more casual than our normal meetings, but just as a refresher, Black Wallets Matter is an organization of brothers and sisters who are concerned about the sad state of affairs in the Black community and are motivated to take action. So that is what, that is who you are amongst. You are amongst these brothers and sisters from all across the country that have decided to come together and pool our resources, our finances, our knowledge to try to push our brothers and sisters, push things forward, make progress in our community. First of all, I want to thank everyone who has been referring people to Black Wallets Matter, because this past week we had a lot of new members come in. So I want to thank you guys for sharing. Keep up the good work. If you haven't been sharing, then go to our Facebook page, find a post, something that resonates with you. Everything you see you may not agree with, but something that you do like, something that resonates with you, share that. And then, of course, visit the website and share the blueprint and any of the other posts that we have there. The main purpose of this organization is for those who are interested in leaving a legacy. We are trying to build something for the future. Brother William spoke about this last week. I see you in the queue, brother. Well, not last week, but 2 weeks ago. And a lot of the other members we've been talking, we talk behind the scenes. And our greatest motivation is to leave a legacy. It's to build something for the generations that come behind us. We can see what's going on now when, some of us or even those ahead of us kind of neglected that duty. We can see some of the madness that we have in our community now. We can see if we look back at history, we can see where we were strong as a people, where we united, talking about in the 60s and, 50s and the 60s and things like that. They were better off than we are today in terms of economics. Maybe not politics, maybe they didn't have any more, but they had definitely had more cultural unity and more economic unity. And that's what we are trying to do as an organization. One of the things that I want to ask the brothers and sisters on the call now is, how many people in your network do you think would be receptive to that idea? Because we have a lot of people who they think that we're about something completely different. The ideas are all over the map, what they think and what they believe. But I want to know how many of you are, you talk to your brother, sister, mother, father, coworker, whoever it is, and how many of you are speaking to people in regards to the state of affairs in the community and actually making change and leaving it better for the next generation? So if you can press *6, jump in the queue, Brother William, I see you there. But if you can press *6, jump in the queue, I would like to hear from you. What is your experience when you're actually reaching out and talking to people? What kind of feedback, are you getting? Are people really fired up and really committed and just looking for a way to or looking for a plan to execute? Or are they just listening to you, agreeing, and then just going on with their day? So, Sister Tamika, I see you. Brother William, I'm going to give you I'm going to open up your phone now. Go ahead, Brother William.
Hi, Brother Lou. And hi, everyone else. Yeah, it's interesting you asked that question. I just spoke with my daughter earlier today, and I was trying to share the vision with her and explain to her that it was really about leaving a legacy and that it may take, a couple of generations for it to become to fruition. I think she understood. The only question that she had after she had visited the site was, she didn't know who was responsible for the organization and who was leading. In other words, she needed some more information about you, which I didn't have myself. So, you know, in the next few days, I hope to share this information with more people on a one-to-one basis, because I think that's, you know, where my greatest strength is going to be at, is talking to people that I know, have relationships with, explaining the vision to them and seeing just how receptive they will be to it, and see if they can grasp what we're really about. So, you know, my whole goal is membership drive right now.
Right.
I know we get a lot of members that, you know, inquire about a lot of different things, and, you know, the immediacy of their particular wants, needs, and desires, you know, crop up quite a bit. But yeah, I know we have to get beyond that at some point, because this is where we're at today. This is why we're where we're at today. We tend to think short term and not long term. So, Brother Lou, if you could, I'd like you to email me some your bio or something on you. I guess you can find my email. I get emails from, just like I got a notification today. So you can find me. You send me something, I can share with other people about.
Yeah, you have my direct number. You should, in some kind of communication, or you can.
Is it on the?
And if you go to the about page, you know, so you can see a little blip there. But okay, so you know what? So I get that. So that's a good point, right? So I have a few people who ask about that every now and then. They say, hey, you know, so where's the bio with this? See, this organization is designed to be different. I say this all the time. It's not the Brother Lou show, right? It's not
about
that. You. Right, yeah. And so I'm not trying to have it where it's like, okay, it's all on me or it's this, because what I'll do is if I have a decision that I'm trying to make, or if it's something like that, I will call a member. I will, and we will talk about it. Sister Shamika is a perfect example. Sister Shauna is another example. Brother Cujo, Sister Kakoya, right? So, the past in our past, if in our history, all of these organizations, they have failed because of exactly that, and everyone is expecting this to be like it was in the past, and I have like this knee-jerk reaction to be like, no, it can't be the same. It can't be the same. But I do understand
right.
that. But I do understand. You know, you're we're asking people for money. We're asking people to trust us. We're doing these
right,
types of things.
Right.
So that's why we're focusing on creating some of these other models, like so the ambassadorship program, like these local branches and things like that. So that way they'll be able to find someone, touch someone,
that they can
see
put
someone.
Their hands on. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Right. Yeah, because that's one of, you know, we do have trust issues within our community, but you know, again, we can't have a head that can be targeted, because when the head dies, the organization dies.
Organization dies. That's right.
Yeah. So we have to get the system implemented. But but thank you for sharing that, brother. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
That.
All right.
You know, we have Sister Tamika in the queue. Sister Tamika.
Hey, Tamika here. I just when I follow you guys on Facebook, it just confirmed everything that I've been, that God told me to start when I started my business in 2015. I started a business where he told me to make an enterprise where I open up different businesses all over. So, and then, you know, I mentor kids, and I tell my kids, you know, I tell my kids I mentor that we have to unify, you know, that we have to, it's up to us to change the world as far as ourselves as black people. We can't keep pointing the finger at white people no more, because we're the problem now. We don't stick together. So I tell them that, and so, you know, and yeah, I this is great. I love it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, sister. Next is Sister Raina. Sister Raina.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing, sister?
Good. So I missed the call or two, so I just wanted to see if there's a way that I can be connected to people who are in the New York City area. Also, I just thought it was great the conversation about not necessarily having a head and everyone being involved and part of it. So those are my thoughts thus far.
Thank you so much. And I'll connect you. I'm in your area, so.
Oh, great. Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. So the next thing that I wanted to discuss was the local ambassadorship program. So if you guys remember from the last members of town hall, we were discussing setting up the local branches, some of the things that would be required. If anyone is interested in creating one, so I know about Sister Bernita and Brother Chris, and right, so I know about the members from Cincinnati, and I think we have, and then we have the members from Atlanta. But if we have any new members that are on from Atlanta, if you are interested in setting up a local branch in your community, I want to ask you a few questions. So please press *6 if you are interested in doing something in your local community. And listen, don't be shy. This isn't the Thursday meeting. This is your amongst family and friends. So, you know, if you guys, we need participation on the call, right? Because it's not a lot of us tonight. All right. So we have Sister Tamika, Brother Will. Who else? Peace, Brother Khabib. How you doing? Sister Sony, yes, we have members from Detroit. They are interested too. Peace, Sister Shauna. How you doing? Okay. So, Sister Tamika. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay,
so you're interested in creating something in your local branch. So 804, is that Charlotte?
No. That's actually my cell phone, but I live in Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah, Georgia. Oh, okay, cool.
Savannah, yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. How would you raise awareness and get your local community involved? Well, first, let me ask you this. What would you want to address in your area? Because everyone has something different that they need to address. So what needs to be addressed in your area?
I would probably, the pretty much employment problem, the housing problem, the prison, the incarcerated young children, and also adults.
Wait.
Pretty much the justice system.
You guys have a housing problem, you have an employment problem, and a prison problem in Savannah, Georgia. In Savannah, Georgia.
Yes.
Okay. Which one would you attack first, and how would you do it?
Which one would I attack first? Probably the employment, because you can't get housing without a job. So probably employment first, and then plus these people who are pretty much are criminals is because they can't find work. So I would probably attack the employment first.
Okay, great. All right, so when we go through the ambassador, when I go through some of the outlines, some of the steps, that sounds good because we have something for you. All right?
Great.
Last question. How would you raise awareness and get the people in the local community to support you? Like, how would you build up the local branch?
Well, I already have a lot of people who support and listen to me now because of my business I already have. So I would just pretty much just go from there and speak on, which I already do now, speak on. Mostly my target is the youth, but I also target mothers who have children who are, you know, in trouble or whatever. So the homeless, I used to be homeless, which is how I know about the homeless situation. So I would pretty much go to the Salvation Army. There's a different housing projects that I would go to and speak there. So it's different stuff.
Okay. All right, sister. I'll go over some of the things that we have in a few, but that sounds good. That's a good action plan.
Okay,
so now we have Brother William H. Brother Will?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd definitely be interested in starting a chapter in our area.
And where are you?
I'm in the Indianapolis area, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay. And so the same thing I would pose to you, what would be the issue that you would address in that local area, and how would you raise awareness?
Well, just like the sister before me, I think employment would have to be a major concern, especially when it comes to people returning from prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these guys that are in prison under these, doing these long sentences over these small crimes, have children themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would be interested in finding a job and getting in an organization that's going to direct their children in a different way. As far as raising awareness, I have some community connections as, as a real estate broker for a number of years. I would probably be looking at some of the black churches because I know some of the people in the leadership in some of the black churches and just trying to raise awareness of our intentions and our direction with those people.
Sounds good.
So it'd be really grassroots because I had to just get out here and beat the bricks and talk to the people that I know and
see what you can rustle up, right?
See what I can rustle up, yeah.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Sounds good. We have Brother Khadiv. Brother Khadiv.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Peace. Brother Lou. Brother?
Yeah, much was going on. Yeah, pretty much. I was thinking about that earlier this week too. Doing more in this, for the community. But my thing is this: I'm not really. I don't think at the moment I probably won't be really too fit to do it alone. I would love to definitely gather with other people locally, from New York, and we probably could plan something together. But my main thing is actually helping people more, getting work, training and skills, and helping and helping small business with their own growth. But that's pretty much how I see it on my end. Like, for me to tackle it by myself, this is, I'm in New York City. This is very big out here. It's going to be real difficult.
You would definitely have other members helping you, and then in New York probably be about 100 of y'all. For each borough or something like that. But you wouldn't do it alone. It's just like, what would you focus on? And you and I've been speaking these past couple of days or whatever, and I think that employment angle still holds true with you. As well, and it's a very viable, and you already have an outlet, so that is mm-hmm. cool. So that is something that we can, we can talk about behind the scenes.
Yeah, right? My supervisor actually came to me with something today. He kind of put me on to some things, and I'm like, I might could use this and help my people with this. But yeah, definitely go on, catch up with him more.
Okay, excellent. All right, excellent. Sister Bernita. Peace, sister. Hello?
I'm sorry, Brother Lou. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can.
I had my phone muted. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure if you wanted me to get on the question and answer. I mean, we spoke previously, and you know that I'm definitely interested in starting something here where I'm at in Cincinnati. And my main focus would be on a mentorship program starting, you know, to work with, you know, adult and youth in terms of helping them to build that, you know, to whether it's starting business or to just to build those skills for employment and things of that nature.
Okay, so you would offer them job training skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, and how would you get the word out?
Well, I I work with a lot in the community with youth already, so I would use that venue to put the word out, as well as, you know, what I'm already doing in terms of trying to, you know, spread the word myself. And just get out there more in terms of try to get into different community events and things of that nature to be able to, you know, put the word out, put the name out there, use different media I've already. Mm-hmm.
So I think Brother Chris, I think he said he has a place that you guys could work out of. I think he said it had you guys got downsized or something. But
mm-hmm.
That's something that you guys definitely can look at. The job training skills. What do you mean? I'm getting a lot of echo. Are you on? Do you have me on speakerphone or something?
No. I have my earphone. Hold on. Are you still on speaker? Are you?
Yes.
I mean, are you still getting feedback?
No, I'm not. Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem. And I see Brother Chris. He's in the queue now. So the training skills, the job training skills, where would you get the information, like for what kind of jobs, like what are you saying specifically, or what would you teach them?
Well, just to build certain skills to utilize current business owners or current, you know, to utilize people to assist other people, to mentor and to teach certain skills. You know, whether that be something small, you know, as to line care, or something big, you know, to use those people that are currently in those different venues and to work with other people to teach those skills and to be able to, and maybe, you know, offer, provide jobs in the process. I've talked to a couple people, you know, to some people and who, you know, would be willing to, you know, be on board in terms of working with or to be that, you know, to work with other people,
to
other adults, other mm-hmm, to provide the mentorship, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good. All right, so start thinking in earnest because these are the things, you know, you guys are going to need these things to execute. So, like I said, I'll go over some of the things that we have, but these are, these are just, like, broad outlines. But, you guys would really need to, like, zero in on what it is that you want to target so that way you can say, okay, you know what, we're going to have these type of business owners come in and provide this type of mentorship for these type of people for this type of job. You understand? So that way
right.
you would know
mm-hmm.
exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish. All right.
Right.
Thank you so much. Brother Chris is in the queue, and I guess he'll comment or piggyback on what you said.
Okay.
Or, you know,
okay.
Know about
yeah.
the state. All right. Sister Shamika. Peace, sister. How you doing?
Good evening, Brother Lou.
All right. And Sister Shamika is in Atlanta, so I know Brother Ty, I know you're not too far from there. And we have somebody else who's, thought we had someone else who was on a call who was from there. But go ahead, sister. So what would you, what issues are going on in your community? What would you address? And how would you raise awareness?
So, yeah, I really got to talk back to you because we are refining our model here, but we're focusing on ownership. We're focusing on getting our foot in the door and securing us a location, a physical plaza where we can rent space to other black businesses that we need in Atlanta to support on a daily, weekly basis all of the things that we do on a daily, weekly basis to take care of ourselves. So basically, all other races have plazas where they have fresh food markets, grocery stores, cleaners, convenience stores, you name it. We need that for black people here in Atlanta. And once we establish that, it's going to give us a place where we can, I say commerce. I know that's not really a word used in that term, in those terms, but I say that because we really don't have a place where black people exchange money and goods with each other on a continuous basis. And so we need that here in Atlanta, and that's going to address the jobs. We'll be able to, with these businesses, employ some of our own. It will support lack of businesses. It will support wealth generation, community, you name it, because we want to go across the gamut in terms of having a business resource center, a community center where we can have things for our youth to do and all of that. So we would hope that one day we could get, it's not going to hope, we have to get there. Because like you said, once this generation, you know, is done, if we don't do anything now, there's nothing to leave to our kids. But more importantly than just the plaza here in Atlanta, we're trying to take over an industry. And the industry that we're going to look into is the seafood industry. My husband and I have a seafood restaurant that's doing really well here in Atlanta. And you mentioned it too, Brother Lou, on another call. You were saying that how a lot of people say black people don't support businesses, and our business is probably 98% supported by black, so I know it can happen, and we're going into our fifth year. And so you told me that time, you was like, you have it, sister. You said they're coming to you because you have something they want. So seafood is an industry that where blacks dominate in spending patterns. So most of the things that we create for our restaurant are homemade items. All of our tartar sauces, all of our juices, all of our desserts, everything. So we want to, I'm actually thinking about this as the new model, is actually giving up a percentage of our restaurant business to Spark communities. And once we give a part of the restaurant to Spark communities, we will sell shares in Spark communities so that people are owners into our organization. And then through that, we'll start looking into the manufacturing side, the distribution side. So if we can get a location here in Atlanta where we're, you know, producing all of the goods that we need for Chef Law's fish fry, and then we create more Chef Law's fish fries, then we, you know, tap into the seafood side. If we have black fishermen, we still have to look into that. I know we have the truckers that are already there, and we already have a lot of people who are going around to various seafood places and bringing the food back here to try to sell it, but it's just not official. So we need to shore up that whole side of the business and create an industry that we can dominate as black people. So I know it's a lofty goal, but that's what we're going for down here in Atlanta.
Okay. So you are So you, as you said to me before, you have the organization that you guys were already starting. It was called Spark Communities, right? Spark, S-P-A-R-K. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And so the goal, the thing that you guys would be tackling is the economics and the wealth building aspect of it.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And so then that means the people that you would be reaching out to would be aspiring entrepreneurs and business owners, right? So not just the general community, but people who are actually looking to get into business. Okay. All right.
That's
specific. And how would you reach those people?
Well, now, off the gate, we're not necessarily just looking at the business owners, because just like Black Wallets Matter, we got to raise money. So out the gate, we're looking for like-minded fellow Black brothers and sisters who recognize that we do have to pool our resources and come together and make this a reality. So that's why I was saying right out the gate, it wouldn't just be business owners. But what we're doing here, our first fundraiser is going to be November 12th. And we're going to go out with the fish fry model, because if we're going to say that, hey, let's create more of these and put them on, you know, in more locations where we can start giving our people jobs and, you know, creating that wealth, then we're going to go out there with the product and help raise awareness. We're going to get our flyers so they're sampling, you know, the food and seeing like, hey, yeah, I can see this. And not only that, we have a physical location that we can send them to on a regular basis. So that's the angle that we're going out right out the gate. And the first one is November 12th. And we'll see how it goes and continue to refine it and do more.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
And Brother Chris. Brother Chris. Hello? Hello? Brother Chris? I don't know. He's not answering. So I guess he could jump back in the queue.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. What's going on, brother?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got this. This is my other phone. But,
okay.
Yeah, I'm listening to everybody and definitely like what I hear. But the thing is, as far as, like, people that I'm contacting and the people around here, everybody kind of already has their own initiative and their own program and things that they're already involved in. So when I start talking about Black Wallets Matter, it's kind of like, you know, that's just something new that they would have to deal with to kind of plug into. They really don't want to, you know, rock the boat on the things that they got going on. So that's why it's like, really, I haven't really found anybody that has any real interest in joining right now.
Well, you know, Sister Bernita, she says she has a network. The other sister who was interested, she has a network. So, again, you know, it's not going to all be on you. You know, there's other things that you can do, and then you possibly could work within their network. The thing that I know is once your organization or once your branch gets moving and actually starts producing results, then that's going to attract more people. So you don't really have to worry about, about people being absorbed or, you know, dealing with their other organization. Actually, once you guys get a little bit established, then that provides an opportunity for synergies. So this is, you know, that's not a big deal. All right.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Just definitely after the meeting, how are we going to all hook up?
I'm going to text you the sister's number now. She said she inboxed you, and then I will text you the other sister's name, or I will, you know, I'll link it up. I'll link it up.
All right, that's perfect.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
Thank you.
Yep. So for anyone who came in on the call, in the middle of it, we were talking about the ambassadorship program. We were talking about anyone who would be interested in forming their local chapter of Black Wallets Matter. And I was going into, you know, asking what issue that you have going on in your local area, you know, how would you address it, and how would you raise awareness of, you know, of the branch? Because realistically speaking, that's what it's going to take. So if you want to go and have your local branch, so here's some of the things that we, you know, that we have outlined. You would need two or more founding members that agree to work together to establish the administrative board. It would be broken down into a president and a vice president, and then you guys would have to bring on a secretary and someone to handle, a treasurer, someone to handle the finances. Hold on for this. Hold on, Sister Shamika. Yes, Sister.
Oh, I didn't want to break up what you were saying, but it gave me a thought, too, because we're all over the country. So not only do we need to establish our own, I know it's ambassadorship, what you said, local chapters, but we also need to see how we can help people in the other chapters. And I say this because, lo and behold, you have somebody on the call from Savannah, Georgia, and I just mentioned seafood, and they're right down there on the coast, and she's saying that they need jobs. Well, are y'all fishermen? Do y'all fish? Does anybody, you know, like they can start doing things like that that can then be shipped up here to us. So we have to think about, you know, not just us being, you know, in our local chapters, but what each group might need around the country and how we can work together as well.
Well, I was going to get to that. That is part of the plan that I'm talking about. We start talking about cooperating with the different branches, helping the different branches with some of the things that they need to do, helping them with execution. So you've actually, and I'm glad that I have you here, so you've actually ran a local organization. So a lot of people, they aren't going to be aware of some of the challenges that they're going to face with doing that. And one of the major issues that people are going to face with creating these local branches, our people are going to be fighting amongst one another. They, because we don't have a long track record of working together and cooperating. And then when we get mad, when someone says or does something that, you know, pisses off the other one, the other person is just going to storm off and be like, well, you know what, I'm out of here, or whatever, or whatever. And so that's going to present a challenge in and of itself. And Sister Clarice and I, we were talking about how to mitigate some of those challenges and some of those complications. And she actually wrote something up and added something to this ambassadorship program. And I'll get to it in a moment. But, you know, we definitely have every intention of cooperating with one another, especially the different branches. But I just think that the individual branches would need to get established, and then the people would have to identify the roles. The national organization would help them in regards to marketing, and, you know, when we have people who come in, we can say, hey, listen, we have a local branch in Cincinnati, we have a local branch in Atlanta, we have a local branch here. You know, this is the type of person this is the person you can meet, this is who you can link up with, and all of that kind of stuff. So that's, you know, that's just the gist of what I wanted to touch on. We got Brother Adolf in the queue. Let me see what Sister, is there anything you want to add in conclusion? Or
no, but I really would like to talk to the sister in Savannah if she's interested in discussing how we could link up and work together.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. I will text you her number in a few. Brother Adolf, how you been, brother?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what I can do to get a local chapter started here. You know, I'm from Denver, so So the most help we need out here, man, is like the sister was just saying, the economics. And I think she was brilliant on what she said about creating the shopping centers, man. That's what we need nationwide, you know. I was in Jersey, this was a few months back, and there was this one, there was one franchise store. They sold, you know, like chicken and all kind of other stuff. But the thing about it, it was about 50 of them, man. I don't know what it is, but they were all Arabian. And, man, they had the whole, all of New Jersey sold up.
You talking about like the Crown Chickens and all of that?
It's like a, I don't know what they're called, man, but I swear it's got to be like 50 of them. I was in Newark, and I was in Rahway, and one thing, and man, I swear it's like 50 of them, man.
It's more than that, man. They everywhere. But I'm saying what they have done with that, man.
We need that in ours, and it doesn't really have to be soul food. It can be anything, man. Our people spend money, you know, everywhere. You know what I'm saying? As it to clubs, as it to the soul food spot, as it to just a bar and grill. You know, that's what we need. You know what I'm saying? A community center where our money comes in and it's able to be recycled in those centers.
Yeah. I'm gonna go through some of the tenets of the ambassadorship program in a few minutes. The Crown Chickens, Kennedy Fried, and all of that, man. That's the chicken spot. They're everywhere, bro. They're everywhere.
And see, I have a little thing here going in Denver where I'm trying to get people to donate to create a spot just like that. And you know, it's gonna start off small. It's gonna start off with one, but you know, my dream and what I'm trying to accomplish is trying to get, you know, just like them, you know, get about 40 to 50 to where you have an option to go spend your money with black dollars, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to go through some of the stuff in a few minutes, because I have like one of the solutions, you know, so one, well, a few ideas in terms of funding and how to get this stuff off the ground. So I'll go through it in a few minutes. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sister Raina. Yes, sister.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I was just going to put in the. We were talking about a marketplace. I believe everyone here has heard of WeBuyBlack.com. Hello. Okay.
Yep, yeah. I'm listening.
I was just saying that might be just a place to start to see how they're doing, what they're doing, look that up a little bit, just to start generating ideas about how to make our money work for us, basically. That was all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let me go through this ambassadorship, this outline, and we can, you know, I can answer a few questions if anyone has it. So basically, like you said, so the goal is for people to set up chapters and branches of the parent organization in their local areas. You would need at least two founding members residing in the same geographical location. You guys have to agree to work together, and you guys would form an administrative board. And the administrative board would consist of a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer. So let's say you want to create a local chapter, but you know that you are not like a leader or a president. You know that if people are messing up, you know that you wouldn't be, you know, that you wouldn't basically hold their feet to the fire. There is no shame in saying, I am not president material. I am not that. Sister Clarice, she really went through a really detailed analysis of some of the different types of personalities that people have, and some people are more inclined to just be helpers. Other people are visionaries where they have like the great plan, and then there's other people who just want to do everything, you know, by the numbers. And so those different personalities would correspond to the place, you know, to the position that you would play within the organization. So in terms of the treasurer is the person who would handle the local chapter's finances and provide the quarterly progress reports. So we were going back and forth about how we would manage that. So Sister Shauna and I talked about it, Brother Cujo and I, and a few other people. And what we came to the determination was that so you would recruit the local members. We would set up an individual page or whatever it is, a payment gateway for you, for your local chapter. They would pay their membership dues, and then when you guys have expenses or things that need to be taken care of, basically you guys would submit the invoice to the parent company, and we would either disperse the money or we would take the portion from so let's say the local membership is like $50. $40 of that would go to the local community. Only $10 would go to the national organization. The rest of the money would be used for the local branch. So, and it would be, and you know, you guys would access that money by submitting invoices or whatever. The reason we decided on that model is because, again, like I said, people do not work well together. So let's say someone gets upset. The treasurer is upset at the vice president or whatever it is, and the treasurer decides to walk off and do whatever. We can't have one person stopping the show. So, and then, of course, you guys would know exactly how many members you have, and you would know how much money you have for your local branch. Okay, so the first responsibility of the ambassadorship would be to find a local meeting place. So potential locations could include libraries, community centers, barbershops, beauty salons, restaurants, catering halls, Masonic temples, VA halls, churches. Churches would be really good because they are already supposed to be helping the community. So, you know, maybe someone can go in there and sweet talk them. And Sister Shamika and I were saying this was a few weeks back or maybe a month back. She was like, we could even have it in the backyard or even in the living room doing like Tupperware parties, right? So the thing is that everyone has to meet somewhere. The initial goal would be to raise awareness of the Black Wallace Matter organization and what it is that we stand for. So I like that everyone mentioned that they would be tackling the employment problem, because that is one of the issues that Black Wallace Matter is prioritizing. So that's good. We're all on the same page in regards to that. So you would go out and you would speak to, you know, like-minded brothers and sisters and say, hey, do you want to do something about the unemployment in Atlanta, the unemployment in Indianapolis, the unemployment in Detroit, right? If they are interested in that, then you would invite them to come to a town hall meeting. So I was asking people how would they raise awareness. We would provide flyers and business cards and use our social media networks to get the word out, in addition to some of the creative things that, you know, some of the members proposed in terms of, you know, reaching out to the church and using their networks and things like that. So the town hall meetings would consist of a screening of an edited version of the blueprint, just so that the members could understand what it's about. Whoever the facilitator is going to be in that local community, they will have to become very, very aware or very abreast of all the different facets and tenets of Black Wallace Matter. So that person and I, or that group and I, we would do a deep dive conversation so that you guys will be able to have a Q&A session to answer questions about the organization sufficiently. And then finally, at the end, you would obviously invite those guests to become association members. So to become a financially self-sustaining organization, so one of the things that, you know, I'm very big on is ensuring that we have the finances to do the things that we need to do. That's of utmost importance, because we can sit here and talk about doing all these things, but the bottom line is it's going to require an investment, it's going to require money, and if we don't have models in place to keep that money coming in, then, you know, the lights will be shut off very quickly. So, again, like I said, the main focus of initially forming the chapter will be to recruit members so that that local organization has funds to draw upon. And then once that organization has a sufficient amount of money, I am advocating that it starts some type of business, right? So you'll have your fundraising events in the process. So like the sister said, you know, well, she said a fish fry, that may not be available to everyone because not everyone owns a fish restaurant, a fish and chip. But you got block parties and you got children's parties and you got bake sales and candy sales and you have all these other different ways to raise funds. You would do that with those new additional members that you have invited to come on board. So, you know, when you go out and you speak to these people and they say, okay, cool, what exactly is it that we're supposed to be doing? You have your marching orders. You can say, hey, you know what? Our first thing is we need to have at least 100 members. So that's our goal. Like the brother said, a recruitment drive, a membership drive. That's our goal. We need to get 100 members. Okay, cool. So we have 100 members. Now it's like, what are we going to do with that money? We're going to start having fundraisers so that we could take our membership dues and increase that money. And then we would start a small local business with the aim of employing young men and women in the area. So as Sister Bernita said earlier, that could include lawn care. We had our last general town hall. We had people throwing out some really cool ideas. So we had lawn care services, a window cleaning service, auto detailing, moving services and junk removal services. And I really, really like that idea because it takes nothing but a truck and you can get a bunch of young guys or even women and they can just go around when they're not working, plaster the area with flyers, and you will get calls. People have tons of junk. People always need to move. And if you're saying, hey, listen, this company is helping the local community, people will call, especially the same thing with lawn care, cutting grass. You have local delivery services. You got tree and snow removal. And I was mentioning cell phone repair, cell phone screen repair, because that's something that I saw on a show where the guy started training a bunch of veterans, and like within the next year or two or whatever, they had like a really big thriving business. I think it was doing something like $5 million or something that next year. I forgot. All right. So with the profits from the local businesses and the membership dues, then the local chapter can start looking for a permanent headquarters, right? So I am not advocating, so you got your 100 members. Actually, you're probably going to need a place for those 100 members, but let's bootstrap it, right? Let's bootstrap it, do as best as we can, maybe rent out a place from a church, right? Rent out their basement or something like that. Find a community center or karate place or, you know, one of these bigger places, maybe even at the library, right? Until we get until the local chapter has enough money. When it has the money coming in, then you can look for a permanent headquarters, and the space should be large enough to have like an area for the youth, for like a community center where you're setting up like a classroom type of environment. Because one of the main reasons or one of the main ways that we're going to really create change within the black community is by reaching out to our youth and redefining what it means to be black, right? So what we need is a mindset shift and we need a cultural shift. A lot of you, I speak to a lot of you guys one-on-one, and you say, no, but the real thing is, you know, we got to change their minds and we got to do this. We all know you're not going to change an adult's mind. You're not going, there's nothing you can say to a grown man or woman to make them change their mind if they are not ready to change their mind. But what you can do with a child is you can educate a child in a certain way. And so then that child will take on those characteristics and those traits and that culture. They will start living that way. And if you look on our Facebook page, it's called the Black Codes, and it's basically things like black people help one another, black people don't kill one another, black people, they don't steal from one another, and, you know, these types of things. Those are the things that we want to instill in our children, and so that needs to be a priority at the headquarters in the local community. Again, like I said, so buying computers and making a computer lab. So like the sister said earlier, she wants to help people with job preparation and things like that. Well, that most likely will require computers. For the youth, we know that we are in an internet age. Everything is going technical, digital. If we can afford it, when actually it needs to be budgeted, we need to get these children in there working on these computers and learning programming and learning some of these skills that are going to be needed in this changing world, right? Then the same open space or whatever space it's going to be can be used to teach financial literacy classes. And then we could also reach out to the local community or other business people or aspiring business people and form investment groups. So those are all the different social activities that can be done at the headquarters for a local branch. And that will create a major impact, because now once you have those people coming in, receive that local community receiving benefit from that Black Wallets Matter chapter, the membership is going to grow, the individual businesses that you guys create, those businesses are going to grow. When people say, hey, we need to buy Black, support Black, or whatever it is, you guys have the things that they need. Like Sister Shamika said, you know, her business is doing very well because they have what we want. We want good food. We spend our money. And so that's the same thing. If you guys are, if people need to be moved and you're providing good service in terms of moving this stuff or taking out the junk or cutting their grass or fixing their cell phones or, you know, washing their cars or whatever it is, and people need it and you're providing a good service, they're not going to, you know, they will do business with you. Okay? So, again, we were talking about the organizational conduct a little bit earlier. Sister Clarice, she came up with this because she was really concerned about some of the infighting that may take place and how that may, you know, damage the reputation of the organization. And so she was saying, she put together a little list, and she said that treating every member with the utmost respect is a must. She said every member of the ambassador program is expected to conduct themselves with professionalism and to be courteous to their fellow members. The implementation of this program, so this is something that I thought of, the implementation of this program will be a character-building exercise that will help us all grow. Cooperation is essential to the success of the program. So what I mean by character-building is that, you know, the unfamiliarity of working with each other, of organizing, this will teach us to work with one another. I think whoever is the facilitator, the president, whatever it is of this local chapter, they're going to need to stand in front of these folks like I do on Thursdays and say, hey, listen, we're going to have to learn how to agree to disagree. We're going to have to learn how to argue without burning the house down. And that's really what it's going to have to be. Actually, what she said was the disagreements should, the disagreements will arise, right? So that's a fact. And it's important to understand that every person brings a unique perspective and a set of skills to the program. So therefore, the disagreements will be settled by everyone proposing their ideas to the group, and then the disagreements will be settled by a vote. And if the person who made who proposed an idea and the idea did not get voted upon, you have to agree to abide by the majority's vote without catching an attitude or without trying to sabotage the overall goal of the project. And that's what I meant by it's going to be a character building exercise. So if the group results in a tie, then the officers, so that's the president, vice president, you know, secretary, treasurer, they would vote and they would make it a tiebreaker. And again, like I said, so all members are bound by the goals. And so this would, we're thinking this may take about a year or so to implement, possibly two. And then after successfully executing these goals that have been outlined, then the local organization should look to create satellite branches in other neighborhoods within the city if you're in a big city. So what you can do once you create these satellite programs, Brother Chris and I were talking about this about a month or so ago. We were talking about susus. And susus are how, well, Caribbean people, my stepfather is Trinidadian, so
That's when I first found out about it when I was a kid. But Caribbean people and Asian people, they what they do is they'll take like $500 and it'll be five people and they'll all pool it together, you know, 1 month. And so that's $2,500. And then each month, all five of those people get the whole pot. And you use that money to it's kind of like forced savings. And then you use that money to do something big. So I was thinking that once these ambassadorship programs are set up, everyone should chip in something like, I don't know, maybe $1,000, $2,000, you know, maybe have like five of them. And so then that way, every couple of months, every few months, they are receiving a $10,000 cash infusion. And so they would be able to say, hey, okay, cool, we're going to buy a van with our first $10,000. Okay, now we have the van and we're hiring these people and that's working. And now the next $10,000 comes around in a few months and now we're able to get our computers. And now, you know, something else comes on. Now we're able to hire someone to come in and do X, Y, Z. So those are some of the ways that the organization, that these local branches would be able to finance and fund themselves. The benefits of this is that this will help Black Wallets Matter rapidly execute on the goals that we have, that we have as a national organization. So this is stuff that can happen now. If, like I said, I'm reaching out to people now. If this is something that you want to do and you can find local people, and I'll send out an email across, I'll send an email to all the people in our network. Hey, we have people who are forming an ambassadorship in Cincinnati. Hey, we have people who are forming in Atlanta. Hey, we have people who are forming in Colorado, things like that. They will be able to actually meet with someone, and they will be able to see someone. And then again, they won't have some of those problems like the brother William was saying earlier. Hey, who's doing this? How's it being ran? Blah, blah, blah. That person is there touching, feeling, meeting with someone. And they're in the process of growing it. Again, you want to communicate to them that what we're trying to build is a system. We're not trying to really like stick out and become some kind of radical group so that we can become targeted and have all these different types of, all these different types of headaches. But that is what the goal is. And so that is the organization using the current membership that we have. And we have been growing. So, again, like I said, I want to thank everyone who referred anyone because we had a lot of people come in these past couple of weeks. And I know and a lot of people were saying, hey, such and such referred me, such and such referred me. So with that said, I am going to conclude. That concludes the overview of the ambassadorship program. I'm just going to put some finishing touches on it, and then I will upload a copy of that in your membership area. You can go in there, look at it, download it. Give me some suggestions or comments or anything, that you may have on it. I'll put my number on there, too, so that people can call me. Hold on, matter of fact, let me put that in this right now. Call me if you have a question. Actually, Sister Clarice is on this. Let me talk to her and see if she wants people to have her number like that, or how she wants people to contact them, because actually she was taking the lead on this. But you will have my contact as well. Everyone has my contact. You can always email me. So if anyone has any questions in regards to this ambassadorship program, please press *6. And if not, then we are going to shut it down. Okay, is anyone interested? Okay, Brother Kareem, Brother Khabib, Sister Carol. Okay, and if you're interested in launching one, if you're interested in launching in your local area, also please jump in the queue so I can make a notation. The brothers and sisters from Cincinnati, I already know about you guys, so you don't have to. Sister Sony. You guys in Detroit, I already know about you guys, so you don't have to worry about that as well. All right, Brother Khabib.
Hey, Brother Lou, this is a question. I
Yeah, I just wanted to get this out the way real quick before I get tired, so I fall asleep. But what you were saying about the Susu thing, whatever, it's actually a program that actually does that. I'm actually with one now with this currency circulator. That is trying to just like throw out there, but the program, what it does is it just make sure payments and people on different tops of the boards rise up and the money gets spit out, you know, things like that. But just to throw that in your ear, that probably something good for the whole community that we in now.
That would be, actually, that would be good for the organization, because I know some people who were saying something like that. I gotta look. I'll look into the software, because that would
What I'll do is I will email you some names. It's a few of them out there. The team was, they all good. You know, you just gotta, you know, gotta be one head person who's gonna deal with the accounting and. But you know.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. All right. And let's see, Sister Carol. Peace, sister.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Didn't you come up with the cool idea, the auto detailer? Didn't you say you want somebody to come to your house and wash your car?
Yes.
All right. I'm sending somebody.
All right. But yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on what you said early. Actually, that's what I thought, you know, kind of like the foundation of Black Wallet was, that we would contribute so much money and help like someone start their business, and once it got up and running, then their goal would be to help the next person, kind of thing. So, you know, that's a good idea. And I do a mentoring program. If someone has any questions or anything about how to, you know, get it started, how to get it running, and
How to get the mentoring program started? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yep. Just send me so you're saying that you're making yourself available to the membership for if they want to know how to start a mentoring program. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
And I'm the same here. On if somebody has some knowledge about doing this mobile car wash detail thing.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right. Thank you so much. I will make a note here. Sister Carol, it will help with setting up mentorship program. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sister Shauna? Hello? Sister Shauna? Excuse me. Sister Shauna? I don't know what's going on with her phone. But we are...
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Dave, yes, we can.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I had you on mute. No, I just wanted to add to the queue. I didn't. I think the last call... We had a few people that were from Houston, and I just wanted to put it back on your mind to make sure you connect.
Okay, Houston.
Folks that are from Texas are from Houston.
Okay. Okay, hold on. So we have Houston, Atlanta. Cincinnati, Indianapolis, I'm just going to Indy. Sister Raina, what part of New York you in, sister? Could you get in the queue, please? All right. Sister, wait a minute. Where are you, sister? And sister, all right, so Sister Tamika is in...
I'm in Jamaica, Queens, originally from Brooklyn.
Okay. And did you say you wanted you? No, that wasn't you, right? You didn't say you wanted to do something locally, right?
I know. I'm interested in that. But you said you're in this area as well, so I figured I'd just speak with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's so. All right. So here's the thing.
here's the reason why I haven't been like, you know, gun-ho in the city. So we already have an organization. Some of the members know we have an organization called Wheelchairs Against Guns that we work with. That's where Black Wallets Matter sprung from. That. So we go around to the schools and, you know, conduct these anti-violence workshops or whatever. So New York City has a lot of money for some of these programs and things like that. It's bureaucracy, but also to do some of the things that we're talking about would be outrageously expensive. So some of these other places, they could probably find a place for rent for maybe $1,000 max. New York, that's not going to really happen. I don't even know how we would do that. But I do have a meeting space where we meet now for WAG, for Wheelchairs Against Guns. So it is something to consider. But then again, you know, we also have the challenge of all the different boroughs and all of that craziness too. So, okay, so we have Houston, Atlanta, Cincinnati, and Indiana, and I believe Detroit. Okay, so from these brothers and and Brother Adolf said Denver, right? I believe that Denver. Thank you for a minute. Thank you, Sister Raina. Brother Adolf, that's Denver, right? Brother Adolf.
Peace to you, bro.
Yep, that's Denver, Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And, yep. All right. So I will send out an email to people letting them know that we have interest in creating these ambassadorship programs in these different locales, and then I will link any and everyone up. Hold on, Sister Tamika. Yes, Sister.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I was listening to the young lady that was talking about the mentorship program, which I would love to start. I was wanting to start that here in Savannah. I'm already doing it myself, but it's not like a program. It's just something I do, and I work with the youth detention centers and stuff. They bring kids to me. But I don't have a program. It's just some people just know that's what I do. So... that would be great to start a program here. And I also want to start one actually working with ex-cons who have been rehabilitated and want to start speaking out to children who are in trouble so they can tell their story. So I want to start a program with them too. So, okay. Yeah, that would be, yeah. Just talk to
okay, so do you want me to text Sister Carol your phone number?
That would be great. That would be great.
Okay. All right,
Save
no problem.
Sister Carol.
All right, cool. Sister Carol.
Yes, you're welcome. Okay. I'll be glad to help.
That's Savannah. That's Savannah, Georgia.
And this, I'm in Chicago.
Okay. Oh, that's a good place. They need it, too. Oh, God, they need it. Oh, Lord, they need some. Detroit and Chicago, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, this is the beauty of it, right? Look, you get to network with people all across the country about the same thing. All right, so brothers and sisters, we are going to conclude this call. Hopefully you guys will join me Thursday when we have our general town hall meeting. So for all the new members, so what happens on those calls, we usually go over the outline of the blueprint, what Black Wallets Matter is, and we open up the floor to answer any questions people may have. And depending on how many people we have on those calls, which they're usually much larger than these calls, that could run about 2 hours. If we begin talking and topics get really good, people get really impassioned, then we usually let the calls run a little bit longer, but you are under no obligation to stay the duration. So I want to thank everyone for coming on the call tonight. And we just had a member join, come on the call at the end of the call, Brother Angelo. Okay, and I want to thank you guys. Hold on, Sister Tamika. Let me text you Sister Carol's number. Brother Angelo, what's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. I hope I made it in time or it's at the end.
It is at the end, brother.
Well, I'm just here to say hi. Hope everybody enjoyed the meeting. I'm mad that I missed it, but I will be on the next one.
Okay, cool.
Everybody
enjoy your night. So you can catch you can catch the recording in the membership area. I'll have it up. It'll be up like during the weekend. Cause I gotta prepare for the other call the next day. All right. And again, you guys, if anyone has anyone needs help with funding their business or anything like that, then Sister Shauna she's a business consultant. She can help you, get funding for your ideas. She can sit down, talk to you, and things like that. I'll be sending out an email with a link. So if you haven't checked it out when I sent it out to you, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, I'll be sending another one this Thursday. Well, tomorrow it'll go out. The email will go out tomorrow, and then there will be a link there to sign up and then sit down and make an appointment with Sister Shauna, and she can help you with your business ideas. All right, brothers and sisters, that concludes this call, and I will talk to you all later.